Hello, friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Before we take you to your favorite Sports History Network show, just want to tell you a little bit about some merch that you can pick up that represents your favorite SHN podcast. So far, there's t-shirts, coffee mugs, and even books from some of the authors that do podcasts right here on SHN. Who could buy something better than that than have the history right from the gentleman that you hear talking about it? But we also are adding things each and every day. And where's that store, may you ask? Well, it's at SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Up at the top, there is the SHN merch button. Click on that. It'll take you right to the store, and you can be representing your favorite podcast and show the world that, hey, on the swag that I'm using, it's the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear, Sports History Network, and my favorite podcaster, the Sports History Network store. Shop there today. Coming up on this episode, a great coach is dismissed from his job, and we have a couple great Ohio State Buckeyes to talk about in the College Football Hall of Fame. It's all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from the Pigpen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, where we are ready to talk about some great football history and some great legends of the game who have birthdays on this February 26th Gridiron Day. Before we get started, we have a couple housekeeping tips to take care of. First of all, we want to thank all of you that bought me that cup of coffee and helped promote the Pigskin Dispatch by supporting us with a small donation. And everybody that has gotten a free copy sent to their email inbox of our Football by Numbers series, our 0 through 10 greatest players that we have ranked with me and my guests here on the Pigskin Dispatch, that we've had a bunch of them, and it's really been a great journey. And coming up on some of those, we're going to have Warren Rogan from Sports Forgotten Heroes podcast here on the Sports History Network, and another great podcaster from the network, and Dana Augister from the Historically Speaking podcast. Then we're going to have a few solo editions, and then we're going to get into the Football Odyssey's host, Aaron Harris, is going to come to talk about some 15s and 16s with us in the next couple of weeks. So we have some great episodes coming up, and you just got to enjoy some great podcasts over this past week. I mean, how did you like that Upton Bell podcast we had on yesterday? If you haven't listened to that yet, you do yourself a favor. Very interesting gentleman, and his family's gridiron history is just tremendous. Now, let's get to your football history headlines. February 26, 1989. Dallas Cowboys, they fire Tom Landry after a 29-year career. Tom Landry received his first glimpse of coaching as a Giant when head coach Steve Owen asked the young Landry to explain a 6-1-4 defense to his teammates when he was still a player in New York. In 1954 and 1955, with Steve Owen out as the coach, Landry served as a player assistant coach under a new man, Jim Lee Howell. Landry was a defensive coordinator, while a man named Vince Lombardi was in charge of the Giants' offense. Early in 1960, before they even officially existed, Tom Landry was hired as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. The first year of the coach had some tough sledding as his team went 0-11-1. The Cowboys owner, Clint Murchison Jr. at the time, had faith in Landry, though, as he promptly signed him to a 10-year extension. That's really having some faith. Patience paid off as the team improved in 1966 and won 10 games and earned the right to play in Lombardi's Packers in the NFL Championship game. Landry coached teams in Dallas that made Super Bowls five times, winning two of them, and he was a Bart Starr quarterback a sneak away in the Ice Bowl from a sixth Super Bowl attempt to play. In 1990, Coach Landry was selected to enter into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. February 26, 1991, the World League of American Football opens up training camps just days after the league's first draft they completed. We just talked about that the other day. They ended the draft and just a day or two later, opened up camp. Wow, not much time for a rest in there. Now let's take a break away from the football history headlines for a second and hear from one of my awesome partners in the Sports History Network.
Hi, this is John Gidley. Join me each Friday for a trip into the football attic, where I'll delve into forgotten but noteworthy stories of the National Football League. You're bound to learn something new or have your memory jogged each week. That's every Friday, only on the Sports History Network and wherever podcasts are available.
Now make sure you listen to John Gidley's podcast. It is a good one. He's taken a little hiatus because he just got a new job working with the New York Giants on Sports Illustrated, I believe, covering the Giants. So great opportunity for him. He will be back, though, he promises. He will do some more podcasts for us, too, and probably give you some great insight on what his new job is, and we can't wait for that. Before we continue on, though, I want to have you a spoiler alert for tomorrow's podcast, the February 27th podcast. We have a special guest coming in to talk about a little Chicago Cardinals football history, a big event that happened on the February 27th anniversary. And with that, we have our resident Chicago Cardinals expert, Joe Zimba, is going to join us on the podcast, and we're excited about that. He's going to talk a little Chicago Cardinals football, tell us about some of his books and his podcast, and we're in for a real treat tomorrow, so make sure you check that out. But before we get to that, let's cover our February 26th birthdays of Hall of Famers. And on this date, 1886, Blue Ball, Pennsylvania, the two-way end fullback from the University of Pennsylvania from 1904 through 1908, Bill Hollenbach was born. This man was a tough player. This was an extremely evident when after he completed a full 60-minute game and got checked out in the locker room, he was found to have a leg fracture, dislocations of both shoulders, shin splints, and hip bruises per the footballfoundation.org website bio on him. Hollenbach started and finished his collegiate playing career on a national championship team as Penn won the national title in both 1904 and 1908. Bill started every game during the 1906, 07, and 08 campaigns, and he earned the coveted All-American status in both 1906 and 1908. He did not play in 1905 for some unknown reason. Hollenbach was the head coach at Penn State, Missouri, Syracuse, and Penn Military Academy, and then he left the dark side and joined the football officials. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding about him being a football official, but coaches are good people. I'm just saying that to joke around with some of my coaching friends. As you know, I was a football official. Bill Hollenbach was the inaugural College Football Hall of Fame inductee in 1951. February 26, 1914, Cleveland, Ohio. The stud center from Ohio State University from 1933 through 1935, Gomer Jones, celebrated his day of birth. The 1935 season was a culmination of all the learning and hard work Gomer had put in his earlier years as he became the team's captain, the team's most valuable player, and he was selected as an All-American per the NFF that year. The College Football Hall of Fame welcomed the football legacy of Gomer Jones into its museum in 1978. Jones coached a handful of schools and nurtured 16 All-American linemen in his time teaching football. Wow, that's a great accomplishment there, too. February 26, 1930, Elyria, Ohio. The slick halfback from the Ohio State Buckeyes from 1949 to 1951, Vic Jankowicz, arrived into this world. The Football Foundation website delivers a story that Vic is one of the best all-around football players to ever put on pads. As a sophomore defender in 1949, Vic became the hero of the 1950 Rose Bowl as he picked off two passes, ran one back 41 yards, and helped Ohio State beat California 17-14. The next year, the coaching staff had Jankowicz play on both sides of the ball. Vic's athleticism was on full display from the tailback position of a single-wing formation. When he passed, he ran, punted, blocked, and place-kicked. His highlight game was 1950 was against Pitt, where Jankowicz threw four touchdown passes and a 41-7 victory over the Panthers. That's not where his exploits stopped, though. He booted a 90-yard punt against Minnesota. Imagine that. Scored 46 points against Iowa, and he went on to become a unanimous All-American and even won the Heisman Trophy. The National Football Foundation voters selected Vic Jankowicz for induction into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1976. Vic played a few years of Major League Baseball with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then a couple seasons in the NFL with Washington. A car accident, though, ended his promising pro career in both sports. We lost some great legends and more great exploits to the NFL because of that. February 26, 1973, New Orleans, Louisiana. Marshall Faulk, the talented running back for San Diego State University from 1991 through 1993, was born. What can you say about this player? Well, for starters, the footballfoundation.org tells us that he was a first-team All-American in all three seasons that he played college football. Amazing feat. Faulk became the first freshman in history to lead the nation in both scoring with 140 points and rushing with 158.8 yards per game in 1991. Imagine that. He was a finalist for the Heisman three times. The NFF selection committee called the name of Marshall Faulk in 2017 for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame. Marshall was the number two pick in the NFL draft of 1994, and he played 12 seasons in the NFL, split between the Indianapolis Colts and the St. Louis Rams. For his career, he amassed 12,279 yards rushing and added another 6,874 yards receiving on 767 passes that were caught. Faulk scored 136 touchdowns and was the league MVP in the year 2000. Marshall was the first player in history to earn over 2,000 yards in total offense in four consecutive seasons. The Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, seized the opportunity to put Marshall Faulk into a gold jacket in 2011. Again, we thank you so much for joining us today. We couldn't do it anywhere without you, our listeners, and we appreciate your feedback and your comments. If you have any more to tell us, write us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Check us out at pigskindispatch.com/podcast. Podcasts. You can see all of our podcasts all in one place. You can also find us on the sportshistorynetwork.com, where there's other great podcasts, just like you heard from John Gidley earlier. He's on there. And Joe Zimba, who we're going to talk to tomorrow night, he's on there too, along with Warren Rogan, who you'll hear next week, and Aaron Harris coming up for some great opportunities to hear some of these Sports History Network talents outside of their podcast. But you can go right now to the Sports History Network as soon as we get done here and listen to them in their own environment. But we sure are glad you get to hear them in the pig pen, too, because we're excited to talk to them. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.